Okay, so for today's mission, we are unpacking a really fascinating, highly confidential internal document.
Yeah, and a leaked product page too, which is just wild.
Right, exactly. Both of these are from a company called Dereticular Operations. And the topic today is this. Frankly, it's a super disruptive piece of technology. It's called the Resilient Microgrid Utility Bundle.
Also known by its internal SKU, which is SOV-BNDL-GRAY-RA.
Yeah, that's the one. So our goal for this deep dive is to understand like exactly how this hardware-software combo works and why it might fundamentally change how your entire neighborhood handles electricity.
Absolutely, it's a massive shift.
But before we get into the heavy tech, we really need to talk about the underlying problem this document is trying to solve. Because, you know, when you walk into a room and flip a light switch, there's this underlying assumption of permanence.
Oh, totally. It feels like a law of physics.
Right. You don't think about the thousands of miles of exposed high voltage wire just hanging out in the weather. You don't think about massive centralized power plants spinning turbines hours away. You just expect the light to turn on.
It is a profound, almost blind trust in this massive interconnected machine. And we like that illusion. We really like our infrastructure to be completely invisible right up until the exact moment it isn't.
Yeah, when a major storm hits
Or
or.
when the macro grid gets overloaded during a heat wave. That illusion just completely shatters. You're sitting there in the dark, suddenly very aware of how dependent you are on a system you have absolutely zero control over.
Yeah, it is the ultimate reality check on centralized dependencies. So, okay, let's unpack this because that feeling of helplessness is exactly what this Dereticular bundle is
And
targeting.
they are targeting it hard.
They really are. For a one-time price of $999, and I want to point out, the document puts a massive emphasis on the fact that there are zero monthly fees. This system promises to replace your reliance on that fragile grid.
Right, replacing it with what they call an anti-fragile decentralized community network.
Exactly. And to understand why this matters to you right now, the listener, even if you, say, already have solar panels on your roof, we have to look at the dirty little secret of the residential solar industry.
Yes, this is huge because most people assume that if they have panels, they are perfectly safe during a blackout. But when the macro grid goes down, most standard home solar setups actually shut down entirely.
Wait, real? I think a lot of people are going to be shocked by that. You're saying even if it is a perfectly sunny day, your power just goes out.
Yes, even if the sun is blazing right above you. Because most grid-tied inverters require a constant signal from the main utility grid to operate. It's basically a safety mechanism.
Oh, so they don't accidentally fry someone working on the lines?
Exactly. If the grid goes down, your inverter shuts off so it doesn't accidentally backfeed power into the lines and electrocute the utility workers trying to fix the outage.
Wow. Okay. So unless you have a crazy expensive setup, you're just out of luck.
Right. Unless you have a very specific and typically very expensive islanding setup with massive battery reserves, your roof panels are essentially useless during a blackout.
That is wild.
It is. But what this Dereticular document reveals is a blueprint for true energy independence. It is a total shift away from the concept of isolated single-home survival and moving toward a unified local microgrid where neighborhoods actually sustain themselves.
Okay, that is a massive promise. But clearly, we can't talk about a whole community sharing power until we understand what is managing the power at the individual home level.
Yeah, you have to start at the single node.
Right. So according to the document, the physical brain of this whole operation is a piece of hardware they call the Sovereign Sentry. What exactly are we looking at here?
So the specs on the Sovereign Sentry are quite telling. It's a fanless edge compute node. And under the hood, it's packing an Intel N100 architecture, 16 gigabytes of RAM, and a 500 gigabyte NVMe drive.
Hold on. Just for a device that manages solar panels, that sounds like a massive amount of
It
firepower.
really is.
Like, that is essentially a full-blown server you're putting in a utility closet, not some cheap little smart plug. Why on earth does it need that much processing power?
It absolutely is a server, you're right. And that compute power is entirely necessary because of the software it's running, which Dereticular calls the industrial foreman.
The industrial foreman.
Okay,
Yeah.
the foreman is an OpenClaw AI agent running inside a Docker image. Now, to understand why they need this, you have to look at the primary nightmare of the current solar market, which is extreme hardware fragmentation.
Oh, like different brands not playing nice with each other.
Exactly. If you look at the industry, it is a total mess. You have homeowners and installers using Victron inverters, SMA, GrowWatt, EG4 batteries, SolarC systems.
And I'm guessing none of those brands naturally want to talk to each other. They probably all want you trapped in their own specific walled garden ecosystem, right?
Precisely. They all speak different, heavily guarded proprietary languages. If you buy a Vatron inverter and, say, an EG4 battery, getting them to optimize power together is incredibly difficult.
So they just don't communicate out of the box.
Basically, yeah. So the Forman AI acts as a universal translator. It comes preloaded with specific software libraries, things like PyModbus and PySerial.
Okay, got it.
And it uses these included physical adapters. They're opto-isolated USB to RS-485 and USB to CAN modules to physically plug directly into these different brands of inverters and batteries.
Oh, so it's a physical hardwired connection to the gear.
Right. It reads those raw industrial protocols like Modbus RTU and CAN bus, which is the literal machine code that these devices use to operate. And it translates them all into a single unified language.
I love this concept so much. It is like having a highly skilled bilingual UN translator sitting in the middle of a chaotic international meeting.
That's a great way to put it.
Right. Like you've got the Victron delegate yelling in one language, the Growat delegate demanding something in another, and the foreman just sits in the middle translating everything in real time.
Exactly. Pulling it all into one beautiful, locally hosted dashboard so all the hardware can finally cooperate.
But okay, I do have to push back here for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've seen plenty of expensive smart home apps before. Is this just a fancy passive monitoring dashboard?
What do you mean by passive?
Like, is it just giving you nice pie charts of your energy usage to look at on your phone? Or is it actually making active decisions?
Ah, okay. That is the critical distinction here.
Yeah.
It is not a passive dashboard at all. It is fully autonomous.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It doesn't just monitor the power. It actively routes and manages it without any human intervention. And perhaps the most important part of its architecture is its isolation.
Meaning what exactly?
It runs 100% locally.
Mm-hmm.
There are no cloud APIs. It is not sending your home's energy data to some external server in another country, waiting for a computer to process it, and then waiting for a command to come back.
So there's no lag.
Zero latency. And it is completely air-gapped from the global internet. If your local telecom provider goes down, your power management doesn't skip a single beat.
Okay, I'm following you, but you actually just introduced a bit of a contradiction.
How so?
Well, you said my house is now an air-gapped fortress. The internet could go down and I'm totally fine. But the whole premise of this $999 bundle is that it creates a community microgrid.
Right, the community aspect.
Yeah. So if my house is an isolated fortress and my battery is completely full, that powerful AI server is just sitting there doing nothing. How does it coordinate with the rest of the town if it is explicitly cut off from the global internet?
That is exactly where the bundle shifts from being, you know, just a neat smart home trick into actual municipal infrastructure. It uses what DeReticular calls the Grid Negotiator Protocol.
The Grid Negotiator Protocol. Okay, sounds intense.
It is. The Sentry hardware doesn't use the internet at all. Instead, it pings a local wireless mesh network. If houses are close together, this could just be a standard Wi-Fi mesh.
Like routers talking to each other.
Exactly. But if you are talking about covering a whole town, it uses something like LoRaWAN, which is a long-range, low-power radio frequency that can travel for miles. Yeah, so it scans that local radio mesh to find other DeReticular nodes in the surrounding area.
So the houses are literally talking directly to each other through the air, completely bypassing the telecom companies and the standard utility lines.
Yes. Entirely peer-to-peer.
That's incredible. And the document gives a really great specific scenario to illustrate how this works in practice. So let's say Node A is a local farm and Node B is the town clinic down the road.
Right, a very practical example.
Exactly. So at 1.00 p.m., the sun is blazing and the farm hits 100% battery capacity. But over at the clinic, they are running heavy air conditioning units and critical medical equipment, and they are rapidly draining their battery.
Now, in a traditional setup, that farm really only has two choices once its batteries are full.
Yeah.
They can either just waste the excess solar energy they're generating, or they can sell it back to the massive centralized utility company.
And usually they are forced to sell it at a massive loss, right?
Right.
Compared to what the utility will charge them to buy power back later that evening.
Oh, absolutely. It's pennies on the dollar. But with the Forman AI running the show, instead of wasting that power or giving it away to the utility giant, the farm's node detects the clinic's desperate need over that local radio mesh.
Because they're on that LoRaWAN network.
Right. And it autonomously triggers a local smart relay to dump that excess power into the clinic's grid. And the really clever part, The document specifically mentions dumping it into the clinic's shared water boiler.
Wait, heating water with it?
Yes. The engineers utilize a concept called a dump load. When you have excess electricity that you can't store in a chemical battery, you have to put it somewhere.
Okay.
By routing the farm's excess electricity into heating the clinic's massive water supply, they're essentially using the water as a thermal battery. They are storing that electrical energy firmly.
Here's where it gets really interesting, because think of this entire mesh network like a neighborhood potluck.
Oh, I like that.
Right. Like, if you make way too much potato salad, you don't just throw the extra in the trash. And you certainly don't walk down to the corporate grocery store and sell it back to them for a fraction of what it cost you to make.
Yeah, that would be crazy.
Exactly. You look across the park and you pass it to the neighbor who didn't bring enough food. The grid negotiator protocol takes wasted excess and turns it into actual community resilience. You are literally keeping the town clinic's lights on with the sunlight hitting a farm 2 miles away.
It's just a brilliant use of resources. You are transforming these disparate, isolated energy islands into a cooperative, self-balancing ecosystem.
It's amazing.
But of course, anytime you have automated software constantly making physical switches to route high voltage equipment, you introduce serious physical risks.
Right, because, I mean, software crashing on your laptop is annoying, but software controlling hundreds of amps of raw electricity is actually terrifying.
Very terrifying.
A single lightning strike or a massive power surge would instantly fry that $1,000 Intel server you just put in your closet. So how do they protect the hardware?
The engineers were hyper aware of this, and the internal document details their mitigation strategies in the risk register.
Ah, the risk register. I saw that section.
Yeah. Specifically regarding ground loops and shorts, which is labeled RVLT-01. The RS-485 adapters we mentioned earlier, the cables connecting the Sentry to the power inverters, they aren't just standard copper wires.
What are they, though?
They feature physical opto-isolators to prevent electrical surges from ever reaching the computer.
Okay, for the sake of the listener who, you know, might not be an electrical engineer, how does an opto-isolator actually stop a power surge?
It is quite brilliant in its simplicity. Inside that small adapter, the electrical communication signal is converted into light.
Literally just light.
Literally just a beam of light. That light is beamed across a tiny physical empty gap inside the chip and then converted back into an electrical signal on the other side.
Oh.
Because there is a literal physical break in the wire, an actual gap of air, an electrical surge cannot cross it. The document states it protects against spikes up to 3,000 volts.
Yeah, that is insane.
Right. The data gets through via the light beam, but the high voltage spike is stopped dead at the gap. The Sentry node remains completely untouched.
That is incredibly clever. It's like sending a vital message across a castle moat using a flashlight instead of walking across a wooden bridge that could catch fire and burn the whole castle down.
Exactly. The message gets through, but the danger can't cross the moat.
But there's another physical vulnerability here that I noticed. A lot of smart home tech just plugs right into a standard AC wall outlet, right?
Yeah, standard 120 volt.
So if the main inverter trips or the utility power fails entirely, the wall outlet dies, the AI brain dies, and your house is basically back in the dark ages.
DeRiticular solved this by abandoning the standard wall outlet entirely. They designed the bundle for direct DC power.
Oh, so it runs straight off the batteries.
Yes. It includes a ruggedized DC to DC step-down converter that accepts 12, 24, or 48 volts. The installation instructions require the customer to wire the Sentry directly to their main solar battery bank.
Okay, so even if the inverter completely blows up, or the AC side of the house totally shuts down, the raw DC battery is still directly feeding the AI brain.
Precisely. The foreman never loses power.
That's a huge failsafe.
It is. And because it stays online during a catastrophic failure, it can execute what they call autonomous islanding.
Which means?
If the foreman detects voltage frequency anomalies coming from the main grid, say the chaotic fluctuations that happen right at the beginning of a rolling brownout, it instantly commands your local inverter to physically disconnect from the utility grid.
Oh, so it actively cuts the cord.
Exactly. It islands your house, running solely on your local solar and battery, which protects all of your sensitive home electronics from being destroyed by dirty, fluctuating utility power.
Okay, the physical protection makes total sense. But the autonomy part raises a huge question for me.
Okay, let's hear it.
Let's say it's a partly cloudy day. The sun comes out, the battery tops off, and the AI says, great, trigger the relay, dump power to the clinic down the road.
Right.
Then, like, a thick cloud rolls over 30 seconds later, the solar production drops, and the AI says, wait, we need that power, turn the relay off. Won't the AI just constantly flick these heavy mechanical switches on and off every few seconds as clouds pass by?
That would be a disaster, yes.
Wouldn't that rapid switching just destroy the hardware in a matter of days?
Oh, absolutely. This is one of the most elegant engineering details in the entire document. What you are describing is a phenomenon known as relay chatter.
Relay chatter. Okay.
Right. And you are exactly right. It is a massive problem in poorly designed automated systems. The physical mechanical relays will literally wear out, spark, and break if they flick on and off too fast.
So how do they fix it?
The Foreman AI uses a logic engine called Node-RD to enforce a strict hysteresis rule. This is specifically outlined under RISC RLOG01.
Hysteresis. Good word. What does it actually mean in practical terms?
So Node-RED is essentially a visual programming tool that acts as the ultimate traffic cop for the system's rules. And the hysteresis rule is basically a mandatory cooldown period.
Like a timer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The logic engine enforces a strict 5-minute minimum state hold before any physical relay is allowed to switch again.
Oh, I see.
So if a cloud passes over, the system doesn't panic and immediately flip the physical switch. It absorbs the short-term fluctuation. It waits. This completely prevents that rapid, destructive physical wear and tear.
It is a pure software solution to a very real physical hardware problem. That is brilliant.
It really is.
Okay, so they have bulletproofed the physical hardware against surges, against AC failure, and against relay wear. But we still have a glaring issue here.
Oh, what's that?
You said this microgrid communicates over an open wireless radio mesh, right?
Yes, Wi-Fi or LoRaWAN.
So if I'm a malicious actor or just, you know, a neighbor who wants free power, what's stopping me from opening my laptop, broadcasting a fake low battery signal over the town's mesh, and just stealing the community's electricity?
The engineers anticipated exactly that threat. They call it grid spoofing, labeled as RSEC01 in the document. And their mitigation relies entirely on hardware roots of trust.
Hardware roots of trust? Meaning what?
You cannot simply shout into the radio mesh network and expect the clinic or the farm to give you power. This brings us to Diriticular's hybrid fulfillment strategy.
Which is how they ship it, right?
Yes. It details exactly how they manufacture and ship this product, and it is entirely built around preventing hackers.
Right, because they are selling a physical metal box, but the security of the network relies on cryptography. So how do they actually link the physical object to the digital security?
It happens in three distinct phases. When a customer buys the bundle online via WooCommerce, it triggers phase one, which is immediate digital provisioning.
Okay, so the moment you hit buy.
Right. The Diriticular backend servers instantly mint a cryptographic node key. This is a complex mathematical SHA-256 hash required just to unlock the Docker runtime.
Gotcha.
But more importantly, they mint an X.509 mesh identity certificate.
So it isn't just a simple password you type in on a keyboard. It is a mathematically unforgeable identity document for that specific node.
Exactly. But here's the critical part, phase two. At their facility, designated warehouse node 3, physical staff pull the Intel Sentry off the shelves.
Okay.
They don't just email you the certificate. They flash the Ryos Core operating system and that unique cryptographic identity directly onto the bare metal of the computer's chips.
Wait, they burn it into the hardware?
Yes. They fuse the digital identity to the physical hardware before they pack it in the heavy-duty field box and ship it to your house.
Oh, wow. So a hacker can't just download a piece of software and pretend to be a node because they literally don't have the physical silicon that has been factory stamped with the Diriticular identity.
Exactly. Which leads to phase three, calibration in the user's home.
When you plug it in.
Right. When your system boots up and scans the local radio mesh, that factory-installed X.509 certificate is the only thing the other nodes care about.
Oh, I see.
Only physical hardware holding a valid Diriticular signed certificate is mathematically permitted to negotiate power loads.
That is wild. It is like having a VIP bouncer at a club. But instead of checking a plastic driver's license that any teenager can fake, the bouncer is checking a cryptographically secure ID that is literally fused into your DNA.
That's a perfect analogy.
If you don't have the factory-stamped Diriticular cert, the clinic's node simply ignores your request for power. It makes spoofing the grid remotely functionally impossible, even though the messages are just flying through the open air.
Yes, the math protects the mesh.
So what does this all mean for you, the listener? We've gone from talking about hardware fragmentation to neighborhood potlucks to cryptographic bouncers. You don't have to be a municipal planner to appreciate the sheer scale of the shift happening here.
No, not at all.
Because for $999, we are seeing enterprise-grade, air-gap security, and autonomous AI being packaged for everyday homeowners.
It is a fundamental paradigm shift in how we view energy. This document isn't just a spec sheet for a neat gadget. It outlines the exact mechanics of how you transition from being a passive, dependent consumer attached to a vulnerable, centralized grid.
Which we all are right now.
Exactly. To becoming an active, secure participant in an anti-fragile, localized network. You are no longer just buying power and hoping the utility company keeps the lines fixed. Your home is actively negotiating, protecting, and managing energy for you and your neighbors.
Which leaves us with a pretty massive, disruptive question to chew on.
Oh.
Yeah. If our homes, our local farms, our town clinics, if they are all acting as autonomous, peer-to-peer energy negotiators, trading and storing power locally among neighbors without using the internet and without using utility lines, what happens to the concept of a traditional utility bill?
That is the million-dollar question.
Right. If communities can literally power themselves from the edge, dynamically sharing their excess sunlight with the guy down the street, does the massive centralized utility company eventually become completely obsolete?
It certainly makes you wonder.
The next time you walk into a room and flip that light switch, or the next time you see solar panels on your neighbor's roof, I want you to imagine the invisible, autonomous mesh network of the future quietly keeping the lights on.